Good morning, and a good morning to people who are joining us online and by all the other methods that you can see and hear and join in the service. It's good to be here in worship, and especially with all these lovely bits and pieces around the communion table, which we'll hear more about shortly. But first of all, Rosemary.
Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to service this morning. And especially if you're a visitor or a newcomer or a visitor to the village. There's tea and coffee after worship this morning in the Irene Patterson room, so please stay if you can and have a wee chat after the service. This year's Warm Spaces programme will start on Thursday 7th November with the first Sanctuary Cinema presentation on the 14th, and more details are yet to come for that. Catch, Kids at Church will take place next Sunday, 3rd of November. The Eternity Discussion Group is meeting every second Tuesday at the moment in the Irene Patterson room to conclude our series on prophets with Amos. The next meeting is on the 5th of November, and for further information please contact Derek on 882190. Our Christmas craft fair this year takes place on Saturday, the 2nd of November, from 10 until 2. In the church, and coffee morning in the manse, and please see your posters for more information. If you're able to help with the event, please add your name to the list that's in the vestibule. And while we're on the Christmas craft fair, can I ask for a few strong bodies to help bring the green boards down from upstairs after the service this morning, so we can get set up for the fair. As you'll see this morning, church is once again supporting Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal. Can still consider making donations of goods or money or shoeboxes, and there's leaflets available for what's required. Today is the last day for donations, but Elaine has said that donations can be taken directly to her over the forthcoming week, because it's a week or so before they need to be taken away. Remembrance Day, this falls on Sunday the 10th of November this year. Disasters Emergency Committee appeal. Please consider donating, if you can, to the Disasters Emergency Committee appeal for the peoples of Gaza and Lebanon. DEC works with 15 well-known charities, including Christian Aid and the Tear Fund, to deliver aid to those who are in need. The UK and the Scottish governments are also adding match funding to donations. And the website is www.dec.org.uk for more information. The Riding Lights Theatre, Cup on a String. Viewfield Baptist Church will be hosting a production that champions young lives, mental health, and the potential for local churches to bring hope. This will be held on Saturday, 2nd of November, at the church in Eastport, starting at 7:30. And tickets are available at £10 at the door. There are further intimations on the printed sheet and can also be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have a copy. And our duty team today is Norman, our minister, myself as Beadle, and I'm on prayers. George and Irene are on tech, and Derek is reading. And everybody's involved, really, so thank you for that.
Let's worship God now. Let's begin our worship by singing what is part of Psalm 148, and that is at hymn number 104, so a hymn 104, The Lord of Heaven Confess.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we present before you. We dedicate our money to your glory. We dedicate our gifts to your glory and the service of humanity. Bless all that we give. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do something a wee bit different. This is a video produced by Blytheswood, and if you've ever been to the Free Church, you'll recognise the person who's speaking. I think, is it the longer one?
Yes.
So Jeremy is speaking on that. So those of you who know Jeremy will see him. He was the minister of the Free Church in Dunfermline for quite a number of years. I'm trying to remember how many, but he's gone off now to work with Blytheswood, which his father was responsible for starting, if I remember rightly. That's your wake-up call. Hopefully we'll now see a video just about what happens with the boxes and all the things that we've got here.
Reaching the isolated. Remembering those forgotten. Shining light in the darkness. Providing warmth in the cold. A message of hope. You give more than a shoebox.
My name is Jeremy Ross and I'm the Chief Executive of Blytheswood, and it's been my privilege to be delivering the shoeboxes. As we give the shoeboxes out in different parts of Eastern Europe, there are so many partners who are motivated to help the people in their own community to find perhaps the poorest, the neediest, and to go and give gifts to them. We've got lots of partners in Ukraine who've been moved to help the people who've moved from other parts of Ukraine when the land has become occupied. We've met people who've lost their fathers, their husbands, and people who've lost their homes. And to be able to give them a box and to be alongside the people who've got to know them and gone into their situations to help them has been really great.
Today we are with one of our partners in Ukraine, the Uzhgorod Baptist Church and House of Mercy. Since the breakout of the war, they've been working with refugees from all over the Ukraine. They have been helping over 4,000 people. Even today as we speak, they're housing more than 60 people on this location in mobile homes, and 200 lunches are being served every day for refugees, for people in need who have no other means of living.
So we are at Rakoshino, old people home. Today we have 17 old and alone people who live here. And House of Mercy took over this place almost 5 years ago. So these are people who have nobody. And the need for places like this is huge, actually, in our area. Too many people who have no place to go when they're old and alone. And many of them find shelter here. The Roma camp in the place called Pirohova, the Roma camp is built in the former garbage place of the city, actually. We found it in a really terrible condition when we first came there, like 10, 12 years ago. We brought many trucks with garbage out of it, and many houses have been fixed or repaired. People have it a little bit better than before. Still, as you can see, it's a really poor place to live in, and we give regular hot food to children there. We give them food packages, we give them medicines they need, help them with the drinking water, with bread and many, many other things.
We are at Sarata. This is a small village near Cluj. Here we have six families we help, and we came now with shoeboxes here. this kind of presents are very nice, and it's very important for these people because they don't get nice presents. Children are happy just to see the shoeboxes, and I think it's a help for parents because they don't have money to buy presents, and then children get presents. This is a big difference. For me, it's important to visit these families, to visit these people, just to tell them that there is somebody who loves us and we can love them as well.
Alongside the practical gifts, Blythswood Care packs Christian literature in every shoebox with messages of hope for children and adults.
One of the things that people say to those of us who are delivering shoeboxes is, thank you for remembering us. And I think that's one of the main messages that I want to give back to the people who fill the shoebox and who made it possible to get them out here. Thank you for remembering people who feel that they've perhaps got nobody to give them Christmas gifts anymore. You see lots of different reactions when a child opens their shoebox, whether it's the ball that they can immediately start playing with or the book that they start leafing through. We even saw a child get excited a few moments ago when he opened his box and found some toothpaste. I'd love more and more people to fill shoeboxes, because what we're finding across Eastern Europe is that we could really give more shoeboxes to more people in need. So if you're able to fill a shoebox, ask your friends and family to fill a shoebox. That would be great, because they really do make a difference and are appreciated by people who often have very little or have no one else who's able to give them a gift. We really appreciate it, but not as much as the people that we're able to hand the boxes to. Thank you.
It's a lot to take in. So let's just take a moment of quiet, and I'll say a prayer at the end of this quiet, and of course hand over to Rosemary for our prayers of adoration and confession. Let's just take a moment to remember the folk that we've seen. Almighty God, we thank you that we have been able to help. We thank you for the boxes that lie before us in church today, and all the other churches that have been part of the shoebox appeal this year. We ask your blessing on all of our giving, but not least what we give from our wealth to those who have so little. We thank you that this brings light into the lives of those who have less than we have. And so we ask your blessing upon those who will receive gifts and those who take the gifts and those who have given the gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Rosemary.
Just before we pray, I must issue a small apology to my husband because I missed him off the welcome team list. Sorry, Rob. And a special mention to Elaine and Margaret, who have organised the tea and coffee for after the service. So, thank you. I'm not very good on the spot. Anyway, let us pray. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth. Almighty God, this earth, full of your glory, praises your name. Through unspoken words of beauty and peace, reveals your love. Through hand of stranger and gift of grace, this earth, full of your glory, praises your provision. Through living water and food to eat, reveals your word. Through daily blessings and breath of life, this earth, full of your glory, praises your name. we acknowledge that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be hindered. You deliver us from fear. You listen when we call. You save us from all our troubles. Eternal Father, today we come because you have invited us, and we come to praise your name together. Gracious God, for the love you have shown us, as sometimes reluctant disciples, your patience in being with us when we decide to go our own way, your hand that is there for us as we stumble or are anxious, your gentle whisper reminding us that you will never let us go. For all of this and more besides, what can we do but offer you the worship of our hearts and our lives as we come before you now, holding out our hearts and our minds, bringing to you our own personal thought and confession. God of healing, God of wholeness, in your presence and power, in your love and forgiveness, we join together now in saying the words that Jesus first taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing now from Mission Praise, number 45. At your feet we fall, mighty risen Lord. There was a newspaper article, I think probably in the last week, where the author was talking about changes in customs around this time of year. The writer was mourning the loss of Scottish or British customs in favour of imports from the USA. Now, I had to be very careful talking about this down in Limekilns because we do have an American lady and her two children. So I was being very diplomatic. And I did ask the youngsters if they knew what guising meant. And I suspect that most Scottish youngsters would look at me with complete mystification. But you know what trick or treat is? Oh, yes. Now, before I get on my grumpy old man horse, I've got to say that I don't mourn the loss of turnip lanterns in favour of pumpkins. They are so much easier to sort out. One of the things that was pointed out in the newspaper article was that in the past, Guy Fawkes Day was, or Bonfire Night, or whatever we want to call it, was much more celebrated, and usually because youngsters were going around building bonfires. And maybe I shouldn't say what we were doing to each other's bonfires. And it was known for people to put aerosol cans in the middle of somebody else's bonfire, which was not a safe thing to do. And anybody who has worked with the fire service is probably very glad that we have had a kind of a shift away from bonfires and fireworks and towards trick-or-treat and the celebration of Halloween. Changes in customs tend to feed a kind of nostalgia that elevates the past that we think we remember as so much better than the present we experience. We might mourn the loss of guising and dislike what we regard as Americanisms, but it is just the move of time and of history. If I were talking to children and asked them, what does Halloween mean? They would likely talk about all sorts of things, about dressing up and going out with a joke or a song or whatever, and the things that they would expect. Maybe not the apples, the nuts. And if you were very lucky and you went to one of your wealthy neighbours, you might get some money, but today is different. It tends to be money and sweets and copious amounts. We know what Halloween means, don't we? All Hallows' Eve. And of course, that word hallow we have already used in worship today, because we use it in the Lord's Prayer. It is probably the one place that it is used in church. And hallow simply is an older word for holy. All Hallows' Eve is like Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. It is the evening before, in our case, All Souls' Day or All Saints' Day, which sometimes get confused. They can be different. But the 1st of November is All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Day, if we use the older word. It's about a celebration of light, the light of God. And maybe it is no great surprise that it happens at this point in time. How many of us are struggling with our internal clocks this morning, far less the physical clocks that we changed last night, I hope. It takes me a few days to adjust, but other people find the promise of shorter days and darker nights and everything that is associated with the approach of winter as quite difficult. And so, no surprise, we celebrate light at this time of year, and of course at Christmas, particularly when we fill our houses with light and talk about Jesus as the light of the world. in the words of John's Gospel, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And of course, we are children of that light. We're going to read two passages now. We're going to read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 148, which we've already sung. And that is about praising God and remembering just who God is. And then from the book of Revelation, a reading about a great multitude in white that John, the writer of Revelation, is shown in his great vision that can be quite tricky to read at times. But this central part of it, the multitude dressed in white. Derek.
So firstly, Psalm 148 from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place for ever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers on earth, young men and maidens of old men and children. And then we go to Revelation, and it's chapter 7. Beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen. May God bless us these readings from his word.
Hymn 426, All Heaven Declares. seem to have a wee bit worry when we do a modern one. How long is the introduction? So, what do you think of the Church of Scotland? If you were asked, what's the Church of Scotland like? Or maybe if you were to go out there and ask, what do you think the Church of Scotland or the Church in Scotland is? And I suspect that some of us in church would reflect the caricature of those outside church. That the church of or in Scotland is a rather serious and legalistic organisation. The word doer comes to mind. I just, because of all the things that have been kind of anniversary things that have been happening, you know, in my life just this month, about 40 years, in October, 40 years ago, I started training for ministry. This weekend, I have moved from having completed 34 years as your minister, I'm now in my 35th year. All of these things, I came across a piece of paper, and it said that I had passed my church law exam with a mark of 78%, which I regret to say is the highest mark I got in anything whilst I was studying at New College. There is a caricature of the church as determined to stamp out any kind of wrongdoing. And that means sin, of course, and sin is anything that happens to be enjoyable, unless what you enjoy is a life dominated by law. Derek did point out at one point that our Kirk Session minutes of today, and I think he was referring to his Kirk Session minutes rather than what Rob and Rosemary produce, are kind of dull. In the past, they had an awful lot of spice to them. Although Derek's favourite one, what's your favourite minute?
There were four elders who met with the minister and decided there was no business. Nothing to talk about.
Woohoo, no business, and they all went home. Of course, it has to be said that some of those who were terribly holy and serious people were and publicly denounced others for their sin were not the holiest people. And we certainly find a lot of that in Burns' poetry, if you look there. However, Robert Burns himself was not the favourite son of the church, and his life had certain issues, shall we put it that way. It is interesting that the accompanying documents to the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is quite a legal document, the accompanying documents that we know as the shorter and larger catechisms, begin with a question that would suggest something quite different from strict legalism. Perhaps I should say that it was being able to answer these questions that revealed what someone believed of the Christian faith as it is described in the Westminster Confession. Now, some of you will have had to learn this, I'm sure. I didn't, thankfully. But I do, the only question I know from either the larger or the shorter catechism is the first one. And interestingly, a retired minister, somewhat older than me, as he left Limekilns this morning, said, "Are we all the same? The only question we know is the first question of the catechism." In the larger catechism, what is the chief and highest end of man? And in the shorter catechism, what is the chief end of man? And the answer? is that we are to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is at the heart of what we believe about ourselves as Christian people. We are those who are here to glorify God and to enjoy God, to have a life that is filled with joy. That's not the more frivolous happy, but the depth of joy. It is a living relationship with our Creator that gives us a freedom to be who we were created to be. If our lives are to glorify God, we live lives of worship. This means that those moments when we consciously worship God in a formal sense, like here, but maybe much more in our thoughts, words, and actions as we go out these doors and worship God in the world. We are to glorify God in our entire lives and enjoy it. We are to live out the joy of belonging to God. In our worship today, we read the words of Psalm 148, and in fact, we began by singing these words. When I looked at that psalm, what struck me was the footnote. Now, not many people read the footnotes in the Bible. Most people don't read the footnotes in books they're reading. But the footnote there said that praise the Lord, in Hebrew, is hallelujah, which we could also paraphrase as let us worship God. We begin our worship with a hallelujah. In Psalm 148, that hallelujah is from the highest heavens to the earth below. Nowhere is exempt from that hallelujah. In that psalm, we have the heavens as we would understand heaven, that place where the angels and the host of heaven worship constantly. That's probably a picture that we have in our heads. The psalm goes on to say that what we would understand as the cosmos, so looking out from this earth to the moon and the sun and the stars beyond, all of creation, the cosmos, is called to worship. The psalmist then talks about the highest heavens, what we might call eternity, is called to worship. And that too is created by God and to his glory, that which is beyond time and space. And then the psalmist moves to the earth, that which we are part of, the world of nature. Everything gives praise to God. And there he turns then to humanity. And in that list we have men and women, and maybe specifically those who are counted as rulers of the nations. And I did have a little chuckle to myself when I first sang the psalm down the road in Limekilns, and it did make me kind of smile again, because I think I got caught in there. I'm sure I'm part of the vulgar throng. But that, of course, is a modern understanding of the word vulgar. It just meant ordinary. And maybe that applies too. We are the ordinary people. We think of ourselves as ordinary people, but we are all called to worship God. When we turn to our New Testament reading, we have part of John's vision that we know as the book of Revelation. Here he tells us of a picture of the highest heavens. There he is in that vision, and he sees a great multitude in white robes, beyond count, people of every tribe, every nation, the whole of humanity represented. As an aside, we don't exactly know who John was. Some people think he is the Apostle John, but many more scholars believe that he is an overseer of a group of churches in the Roman province of Asia, and John was not an unusual name. Whoever he was, he is imprisoned or in exile on the island of Patmos during a period of persecution. And so he writes to the church for which he has responsibility to both encourage and correct. During difficult times, it is very easy to forget who and what we are. We can be tempted in different ways to stray from what God wants of us. What John sees in this vision is a multitude that he can't count, a multitude that represents the breadth of humanity. He says there are people from every nation, tribe, tongue, language. What a contrast it must have been to those small, troubled congregations that he is so worried about and addresses personally. His guide asks him if he knows who these folk are, this great multitude. And his answer is, to pass the question back, he says, "You know." They could not be more different from the people that he was worried about. But of course, the answer that is given is that these are those who have come through what is described as a great tribulation. In many ways, the answer to John's question is that this multitude is made up of people like those for whom he is responsible and worried about. This multitude who worship in the highest heavens are people just like us. And we often in worship say that we join our praise, our worship, to the worship of heaven. And we talk about the Holy Spirit transforming our words to be fit for the heavenly places. And of course, that's straight from the Bible. When we consider the state of the church, that laugh when I asked what you thought about the Church of Scotland, our congregation here, our part of Fife, Fife Presbytery, the Church of Scotland, and the Church in Scotland, we may feel that we are in a society, a nation, where we are either irrelevant or maybe acted against in terms of being rejected. We, you know, what right have we to speak about our faith? And we can feel got at, and we can feel inadequate, and we can feel, you know, where's the church that an awful lot of us remember, if our memories are accurate and not nostalgic? The truth is, we are part of the multitude dressed in white. Our true belonging is the kingdom of heaven. The praise that we offer with that multitude in white, where we declare that salvation comes from God, the angels in heaven give their amen. If you were listening as Derek read, there was that praise that came from the multitude of people, and the amen is the angels in heaven saying, that is exactly how it is. We have our part in the great symphony of praise that encompasses the whole earth, the whole of creation, the highest reaches of heaven. The word hallelujah, praise the Lord, let us worship God. And the word hosanna, which simply means the Lord saves. Salvation belongs to God, as it's translated in the book of Revelation. So our cry of hallelujah and hosanna is part of that great praise of Almighty God. That's who we are. Not who we think we are. It's who God says we are. That is where we belong. Before the throne of God above, which is what we're going to sing now. Hymn 466, Before the Throne of God Above. Now our prayers for others. Rosemary.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who hears when people call out to you, hear our prayers for others today. God of all creation, you hold the depths of the earth in your hands. You are closer to us than the air we breathe. Fill our souls with your wonderful love and light, and give us the strength and courage to reflect that love and light in the world. Hear us today as we pray for a world so often darkened by hatred, evil, power and greed. God of power and might, your broken world cries out. We bring to you desperately all that continues in the Middle East following Israel's retaliatory airstrikes on Iran, and we pray that Iran will not launch another round of strikes at Israel. Our thoughts remain with the people of Gaza and Lebanon as Israel's offensive continues in the north. The UN reports that an entire population is being subjected to bombing, siege, and risk of starvation. Merciful Father, may they see your light, feel your strength and power, and know the truth of your promise. May all in positions of authority be moved to a process of peace. Within the darkest night, Father Lord, let your light shine. God of compassion and grace, we share with you our love and concern for all who live in poverty and repression, for all who are in our thoughts as the shoeboxes collected this morning go on their journey with love to the countries of Eastern Europe, bringing joy to those not known to us, but to you. Father, Lord, accept our thanks for the work of all who are involved in our own church and community, and for those who ensure the boxes are sent and received. Loving Father, we pray for the needs of our own community in which we live and serve. We ask that you hear our prayers for the vulnerable members of our society, that they may find the support and care that they need. We pray for individuals and families struggling to deal with financial challenges, and that they may find necessary help and aid. We ask for your healing power for all who are enduring pain and illness. We pray for those who feel anxious and overwhelmed, that they may find rest in you. We bring to you those who are mourning the passing of loved ones, that you will bring them comfort and strength. And in silence now, we bring to you our concerns and the needs and concerns of others who are held closely within our hearts. God of love and hope, we know your everlasting light shines with us as we offer all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
We sing now hymn 439, Look Ye Saints, The Sight Is Glorious. Praise the Lord, to tell of his salvation. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.